Fabulous. Just move that. It's good to see you all, particularly in this sort of panoramic version of St. Richard's. So lovely. Let me pray. Father God, we just thank you so much for this opportunity to come to meet with each other, to sing praises to you, and to learn from your word. Now inspire us through your Holy Spirit. Speak to us, instruct us, and challenge us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. A local bar was so convinced that its bartender was the strongest man in the world that they offered a £1,000 bet. The bartender would take a lemon and would squeeze it till all the juice ran out into a glass. And then the challenge was you would hand it to any patron, and anybody who could squeeze one more drop out of the lemon would win the £1,000. Many strong men tried it over time, but nobody could do it. And one day a little fella, wearing very thick glasses and a polyester suit, came into the bar, and in a voice he said, "I'd like to take that bet." After the laughter died down, the bartender said, "Okay," took a lemon, squeezed it, and then gave the wrinkled remains to the little man. The crowd's laughter died in their throats when he clenched his fist round the lemon and six more drops fell into the glass. As the crowd cheered, the bartender gave the £1,000 over and asked the little man, "What do you do that enable you to do that?" And the man replied, "I'm the treasurer for the local church." It's a very old story, but it's like it's a parody of what church is like. But you know, the people who lead churches are able to squeeze more money out of things when they than they had. But like all parodies, there is some truth in it. The average regular donation for charities in the UK across the UK is actually £221 per person per year. That's how much we give based on the last figures that were available, which is not bad, though if you compare it to the States, which is actually £650 per person per year. The picture isn't to do with churches, it's just to do with giving. But this tells us a picture, a little bit of a trend, to say that we in the UK are generous, however, we could be more generous. It gives a snapshot, and it doesn't allow for things like, you know, the one-off event we've just had. So things like Sports Relief, which two nights ago raised £51 million. But I think it's actually a general trend in society and also in the church that we're a bit cautious with our cash, and we potentially need to be more generous. With this in mind, let's look at the passage that we've read at the very end of Philippians, which speaks into this. We're at the end of this series of Philippians, and so I just want to recap on the book, as it were. So sort of, you know, we'll give you a bit of a sort of a view of that. So the first thing that Paul wanted to do was to make the church known that he was how things were going for him in prison, and what plans he had once he was released. The second thing he does in the letter is actually to deal with some divisions and problems in the church. And so he writes to encourage humility and unity. The third thing he does is he writes to head off any negative teaching and consequences of false teachers. The fourth thing he does is to actually introduce Timothy to the church and ask them to report on the health and the plans for Epaphroditus. And finally, here, Paul is writing to give thanks for the church for their concern for him and the gifts they are given. And this is where we pick up this letter. This final passage is not a throwaway set of comments or a thank you for supporting us statement. It's a heartfelt thanks by Paul, which gives us an understanding of the whole letter. Tom Wright, the Anglican bishop and theologian, and I really like what he says, he says this: "Sometimes when you get to the end of a novel or short story, there is a moment when something is revealed that makes sense of a mood, a motive, or a feeling that has been in the story all along. At last we understand why the man was so sad when his dog died. At last we grasp the reason that the old woman never trusted her sister, or whatever it was. Philippians ends like this. At last we understand the full extent of why Paul was so grateful for the partnership of the gospel, which this church had particularly exercised. It isn't just that they'd now sent him money with Epaphroditus as their willing messenger. It was because they continued a habit that goes right back to the beginning. This we see is why the whole letter has such a warm tone, a sense of deep trust and affection that we have sensed throughout. Tom Wright's saying there very much that actually it helps us understand this, because at the end of the letter we see why it is that Paul has such a connection with this church, because of the way they have supported him and walked with him. So what can we learn from this passage? Well, I think the first thing, like all good Anglican sermons, I have 3 points, and the first thing is, it's all about partnership. Verse 14. Yet it was kind of you to share my troubles, and you Philippians yourselves know that at the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except only you. Even in Thessalonica, when you sent me help for my needs once and again. Here Paul is thanking the church in Philippi for their faithfulness and their giving. They have supported Paul right from when he started out. Verse 15. From the beginning of the gospel. They supported Paul from his very early days. They also supported him when he was slightly out of sight and out of mind. So when he left and he left Macedonia. They also supported him through the tough times. Verse 14 and 15, verse 16. Even in Thessalonica, you helped me in my need once again. That was a really tough time for Paul, and he had to work to pay his way, despite the fact that the Philippian church supported him, which really helped him. So the church here is being praised for the support they have given him through his whole ministry. Not just while he was travelling near or visiting them. Not because of any plea for aid that he gave them. But because they wanted to support his work without being asked. They saw it was a really great thing and they decided to support it without being asked. Paul and the Philippian church had a partnership that was a two-way process. And as we'll see, as we look on this, it benefited them both. So that's the first thing that we learn, that it's about giving is about partnership. The second thing we learn is actually when we give, we build people up. Verse 16. Even in Thessalonica, when you sent me help for my need once again, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and a pleasing to God. The gift that this church regularly gave was not asked for, but it was received with thanks. See what Paul says in 17 and 18. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases your credit, and I have received full payment and more. He didn't ask for it, but he did accept it, and he gained from it. He was well supplied and supported by the Philippian church, and it personally blessed him. The gifts you sent me, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. Paul is not saying here, thanks for the cash, and it really helped. What he's saying is, thanks for the sacrifice. Thank you for the fragrant offering. He's saying, thank you for the attitude behind the giving. Knowing that it and it alone is what God sees. He doesn't see the money. God sees the attitude for it. Remember the story of the widow's mite. If you look in your Bibles, if you turn to Mark 12, and verse 41. Has anybody got a page number on that one? Graham, you're there first.
849.
Thank you. This is a famous story that Jesus told. And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched people put money into the offering box. It's verse 41. Many rich people put large sums. A poor widow came in and put two small copper coins, which make a penny. He then called his disciples to him and said, "Truly I say to you, the poor widow has put more in than all those others who are contributing to the offering box. For they contribute out of their abundance, but she contributed out of her poverty and has put everything she had, all that she had to live on." Jesus is telling us here is about that actually we're giving not out of our abundance, but out of the what we've got. And Paul is encouraged by this reason, this attitude for the giving. It's behind the giving itself, not the gift, which he was grateful for, but actually in this passage he plays that down. The act of giving encourages the receiver who gets the gift. I know this for myself. I'm a chair of trustees of a Christian youth charity in Tunbridge Wells. And I am so encouraged when people give to our work. The sum is unimportant. It's nice because, like all charities, we have financial needs. But the fact that they give, that they want to be involved in the work of seeing God's kingdom grow and support us, is the most exciting thing. And it doesn't matter whether they give a little or whether they give a lot. It really, really encourages us. And when I meet with the person who's the overall manager of it once a month to talk about how we're doing, it's always really encouraging when we get new people who have caught the vision and want to give money or time or effort. So, giving is about partnership. It's another thing about building other people up. The other thing is, it's about actually that it blesses the giver. Verse 17, again. "Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases you to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in the glory in Christ Jesus. To our Lord and Father be the glory forever. Amen." Paul is saying here that giving will bless the giver. He describes this through a bookkeeping metaphor, credit. And that what's actually happening through the churches giving to him is that their own account, presumably the account in God's eyes, they have received a healthy credit balance as a result of this. That's what he's saying. That actually, by giving, the church reflects better in God's eyes. Paul's not worried about speaking this way, about Christians doing things which please God. He isn't suggesting, actually, that they are earning their salvation being justified by works. So the more they give, the more that actually they will earn their way into the kingdom. He's not saying that. He's also not saying that if they give, they'll get money back. Prosperity doctrine. He's not saying either of those two things. Rather, he's saying that God is delighted that their faith, their hope, and their love are finding this practical expression. To rub the point in, he uses verse 18, a picture from the Old Testament law about sacrifices. Again and again, the biblical regulations for how to offer sacrifices in the temple speak of those sacrifices. In language that Paul uses here, a beautiful smell, an offering, giving pleasure to God. Paul agrees with the psalm writer of Psalm 50, who talks about this, that actually God doesn't necessarily smell the aroma of the burnt sacrifice. And he isn't impressed simply by people going through the motions. What really gladdens God's heart is generous spirit that proceeds from love and trust. And in all this, this means that he can promise the Philippians what he has found to be true. That those who trust in God in the way that he has means that God will supply their needs. Verse 19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Jesus Christ. Not because of how much they gave, but more for the fact that they wanted to give. So, giving should be about partnership. It should be about building each other up. And it is about blessing the giver. So how does that relate to us here and now at St. Richard's? Well, I think we have to start by examining our own giving and the reason for it. Are we partnering with people to see God's kingdom here on earth come? Not randomly giving, but prayerfully examining our hearts and our passions and giving in line with where God is leading you. We can do this by giving money to the church and entrusting the church to do that. Or you may want to personally identify an organisation who you give to build up God's kingdom. Or you may want to do both. But we should see it as a partnership to find out, to pray for, to support the people and the organisations for whom we give to. Don't just give money. Pray for them, find out about them. Including when we give money to the church, regularly praying for St. Richard's, for Graham, and for the leadership team. So we should be looking to partner with people in our giving. We should be generous in our giving. You feel from this reading that the Philippians gave to Paul out of generosity and love, not out of surplus and duty. So they didn't give because they had lots of cash, necessarily. They gave because of the fact they loved what he was doing. And it was probably costly for them. I believe very strongly that the Church of Christ should be marked out by its generosity. That's how we impact our communities and the world. By bringing Christ and being generous. Local expressions of that we can see, I think, are things like the food bank and street pastors, which is a way of actually giving back. There's also bigger things in terms of, you know, international expressions, like building schools, Bible teaching colleges, establishing feeding programs. This is God's church being generous and trying to see God's kingdom come. These are signs of a generous church who have much to say thank you to God for and want to bless other people with what he's given us. Remember the widow's mite. We need to be generous with what God has given us. Time, money, other resources. Remember, it's not just about money. Because Philippians, when the Philippians are being thanked by Paul, there is an implication that there is some cash there, and we do know that cash was brought, but it's not purely about that. They provided resource as well, and prayer. But we need to be generous with what we have, and not compare ourselves with other people. And we need to give out of what God has given us. The third thing is that we should love doing it. The Philippian church had a passion for giving to Paul's work, even though they didn't really benefit it directly. There was no sort of, if they did this, they got that. That's not their purpose. They did it because they had a passion for what he was doing. We need to have a passion for giving, and we should want to give. We should want to give to a mission here in Crowborough, in the UK, and across the world. We should want to see God's kingdom advance through our prayers, through our giving, through our time. It will build our faith and will make a difference to them. I want to finish just with a thought from somebody I found it. It says anonymous, so I don't know who wrote it. But it was, I quite liked it. It says this: givers can be divided into three types: the flint, the sponge, and the honeycomb. Some givers are like a piece of flint. To get anything out of it, you must hammer it, and even when you do that, you only get chips and sparks. Others are like sponges. To get anything out in a sponge, you must squeeze it, and squeeze it hard. Because the more you squeeze the sponge, the more you'll get out. But others are like a honeycomb, which just overflows out of its own sweetness. That's how God gives to us, and this is how we should give in turn. My prayer today for all of us is that we let the Holy Spirit work on us to transform us to be more like honeycombs than sponges and flints, overflowing with God's love, goodness and provision for others. Let's all commit to be more generous with what God has given us tomorrow than we are today. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for this letter, for this challenge, for us to think about giving. Father, we want to give so that people will come to know you. We want to give so that your kingdom can be built here on earth. We want to give to see people released from captivity and from poverty and to know Jesus. Father, help us to know how to give, where to give, and what to give. Challenge each one of us to be more generous with our time, with our resources, than we have been up to this point. In Jesus' name, amen.